Blog Talk Radio.
I'll just do the... Oh, man. I don't remember which song I wanted to play.
I see yours.
Stop. Yep. There she is.
Oh.
Oh, she's such a little sweetheart. She's like, wait, that looks like Noah on the screen.
Oh,
Bob Key. Okay, so I'll send it to you in this chat. Is that okay?
Sure.
Just go with the classics. Ain't No Sunshine.
Okay. Sid, do you want
to... I'm adding this to the playlist, so hang on.
Okay.
You want me to call Blog Talk?
Yeah.
I could do that. 3-6-8-8.
Yes.
Beep. Oh, you know what? I have really bad...
I added the song.
Okay,
already.
Sorry.
It's fine.
I have like one mini bar.
You should turn on Wi-Fi calling. It'll just use your Wi-Fi signal.
Why doesn't it?
No, you have to turn on in like cellular. You turn on like Wi-Fi call. You have AT&T, right?
Yeah, cellular.
It's like your Wi-Fi calling.
Wi-Fi calling off. Why would?
Blog Talk's good.
Oh.
So now even when you don't have service, if you just have Wi-Fi, you could just do regular calls.
Great.
It's quite great.
Thank you.
Okay, yeah, let's get it popping. Bam, 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 bam. Now let me make sure the audio works.
This is your announcement. This is your announcer, Chuck Landington, welcoming you to
hello,
the
Metal
Injection live cast. So much uproar over Lil Nas X getting sat.
Okay, good. Lil Nas X?
Lil Nas X.
I thought it was,
leave,
it was adorable.
It.
Yeah.
It sounds very Jewish.
Which
it gets more Jewish as it goes, Noah.
Yeah. All right,
Blam.
Here we go. Lil Nas X. I'm muting everybody.
Go! This is your announcer, Chuck Landington, welcoming you to the Metal Injection live cast. So much uproar over Lil Nas X getting satanic this week. There hasn't been such a satanic panic since that time Noah almost got expelled from Yeshiva Rambam for wearing a Judas Priest shirt. But then they realized it just said Jewish pay us. No worries. The Metal Injection live cast starts now.
Hey, sir, those little sideburns the Hasidic Jews have for our Goyim listeners. Welcome to the Metal Injection live cast.
First
sometimes
of all,
especially called the Metal Injection Jewcast. Yes, go ahead, Noah.
I just want to make a little correction. I did not go to Yeshiva Rambam. I went to Yeshiva Flatbush, and it was not a Judas Priest shirt. It was an AC/DC shirt. Thank you. And actually,
what was the
97. Thank you.
What was the design? What was the design?
It was Angus holding a pitchfork, and he was like a caricature of the devil, and at the end of it was a bra and panties.
Oh.
And I wore that to fifth grade.
My parents once took like a tropical vacation, and they got me a shirt, and I wore it to school, and I didn't realize it, but there's a naked woman on the shirt. It just looked like a woman on the beach, but turns out she was naked. It was like
Was it one of those shirts where it was a woman's body, like drawn?
Yeah.
And they made you wear that?
Yeah. And I didn't even, and so like the whole day when I was standing, I had to like wear, hold something over my shirt because I didn't want to get suspended.
Do you still have
the
shirt?
Time. No, I don't, sadly. But you have a brand new edition of the Metal Injection Livecast. We're live every Tuesday, 6 o'clock Eastern to 7:30 p.m. Eastern. In a few moments, we will be joined by somebody we talked a lot about around these. The webmaster of Lambgoat, Alex, is going to be popping into the show. That should be very exciting to finally talk to him. We've talked about his website so much on the show. And
Noah sometimes browses it during the show.
He's like a living livecast meme, and he doesn't even know it.
Yeah. Should be interesting.
Well, I tipped him off to it. I tipped him off to it a little bit, but we'll explain it to him. He'll be on momentarily, but I do want to mention, if you are a fan of the livecast, if you enjoy what you hear by listening to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever podcasts are available, and you would like yourself some more podcasts from the Metal Injection Livecast, we do bonus episodes on our Patreon, patreon.com/Metal Injection Livecast. Every month, we do about 2 episodes a month now, and we had some really fun episodes this month. We did a Hall of Fame for who did we do the Hall of Fame on? We did Mark B. We did the Mashiach song. And what was the third thing? Was it the Troke guy? Or was that last month?
That was right.
Feels like forever ago. And then the middle of the month episode. So basically, we revisited 3 of our favorite characters from shows past and really dive deep into it. And then also this month's bonus episode was a heavy metal parking lot watch along, where we found out way too much about one particular member of the heavy metal parking lot. And April is just around the corner.
We really found out way too much about every member of the heavy metal parking lot. Just one of them stands out.
That's fair. Yes. And then April 1st, we're going to be finally unleashing a episode that we've talked about a while, where we watched the Lemmy documentary. Lemmy, 49% motherfucker, 51% son of a bitch is the full title.
The real title, by the way, not a joke. Sounds like we're making that up.
And came out in 2011, and we always talk about one particular scene in the film where Lemmy shows off his Nazi memorabilia. And let me tell you, we had a lot to say about that scene during the watch along. And the doc in general, it was a very fun watch. A lot of fun comedy. So that goes up later this week. That goes up April 1st. So that's Thursday morning. First thing Thursday morning, you could watch along with us.
I don't want to give too much away, but I want to say this without any spoilers. I think this is our best Patreon video so far.
Wow.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Yes. I think this is our best watch along for sure. This is the most enjoyable of the watch alongs that we've done. The other things are like apples and oranges. I don't want to pit them against each other, but we blew the doors off. But this is I had so much fun recording this.
Yeah, it's a good one.
And it's our longest episode, too. It came in at 2.5 hours. So plenty of hang time, the Metal Injection Livecast. And if you're listening live right now, it's Tuesday, and you want to be a part of the show, you can give us a call. 213-WIDENUT is the number. That's 213-943-3688. And right now we have our guest on the line. Let's let him in. Let's let him set up while we introduce him. And if you want to talk to Alex and ask him a question or hope that his van flips, once again, the number is 213-WIDENUT. That's a lamb goat meme. It's okay.
That was a bad one, Rob. Sorry.
Well, we don't even know if he owns a van. So, Alex, welcome to the show. It's great to finally talk to you in person,
muted.
Like face-to-face.
You're muted, by the way.
Oh, yes. We need to get you to unmute.
There we go.
And the wonderful world of Zoom is Also, a great way to have live technical difficulties. We cannot hear you.
Rob, are you doing this on purpose? Is this like a power move on your part?
I am not doing this on purpose.
Can Alex hear us?
He can't hear us. Oh, okay. Of course. I mean, we sound great, I'm sure.
He's got some fidgeting to do.
He's figuring it out. The website is lambgoat.com. Might have heard of it.
Anything?
There we go.
There we go.
There he is.
Sorry about that.
Okay. No worries. Welcome to the show. Thank you. Thank you for hanging out with us for a few minutes.
Thanks for having me. Pleased to meet you all.
Yeah. You know, we've been talking for like almost 15 years now, but this is our first face-to-face encounter. So
yeah, that's funny how that works.
Yeah,
and I don't own a band, just for the record.
Okay,
you do own the same hat as Sid, though.
Yeah,
is there going to be any conflict here?
It's like good versus evil. With
I've been
hat.
Trying to bring them back for a while. Not,
I'm
not
with
thinking,
you,
but
two of us
get them one at a time.
Yeah.
So I guess I should have a background. Sorry, you get my basement.
No, it's fine. Okay.
I thought that was the background.
Well, everybody else has these, you know. I don't even know what to say. Amusing backgrounds? Controversial backgrounds?
We just don't want to show our clutter, so we just find some sort of...
I look like a captive in like a beheading video, so you don't want to see my background. If I have
that. That sounds pretty awesome, actually.
I just want to say, Rob, my room is very neat. Speak for yourself.
Sure, I speak completely for myself. I don't want to show my clutter. You know, just to clue you in, Alex, you know, we talk about Lamb Goat here on the Metal Injection Livecast all the time. We have a group thread throughout the week. And what kind of happens during the week is we send each other links for show topics. And many times over the years, I would send a link to a story that I wrote about like a big news story for the week. And then a few hours, perhaps a day later, Noah will send a link to the same story, but it's from Lamb Goat.
You know, a reliable news source. Why wouldn't I send it?
Well, I appreciate that, Noah. I think perhaps she doesn't enjoy mobile-friendly sites because I'm probably the last non-mobile-friendly site in existence, so perhaps that's it.
But despite being not mobile-friendly, still very good typography on the site. Very easy to read, even on a mobile phone.
Oh, really?
I love line height. Let me just gush for a little bit. I love the simplicity of Lamb Goat. You just go and it's very straightforward. There's no like flashy pop-ups or, you know, rotating banners. And it's just like very straightforward. And I just get to what I want. And I like that.
I want to say if
I appreciate it.
I don't know if you may not be aware, but when Rob compliments your typography or your kerning, man, you are in. You are
That's
just
the
in.
Praise.
All right. Duly noted. I've not spent a lot of time evaluating the kerning or typography, I'll admit.
Just work.
But hey, if it ain't broke, I won't fix it.
How long has Lamb Goat been around? When did it launch?
It started in 1999, I suppose.
Wow.
So
wow.
It's been a long time and I've really accomplished nothing. I've let it languish. probably I'd say Lamb Goat peaked. And I'll be self-deprecating. It peaked in 2006 or 7. Throughout that whole time, I've had a full-time job. So it's always just been a whatever. I do it when I can. And I've never really had any help other than, you know, some writers here and there. But I built it myself, which is why I've not updated the actual website technologically in so long, because I just haven't had the time. And I no disrespect to any of the sites that use it, but I wanted to avoid the whole metal press thing, especially because my day job is a software engineer, so I thought like I should actually build it. But yeah, it's been so long since I've done anything, and it's a technological dump, and it's not mobile friendly, and it's a real pain.
Well, pretty quick,
Rob, if you would see what I have to go through to post a news article, like I literally have to, I have this shitty content management thing that I built. And so I post the news there but it's not fit for Facebook. It's not fit for anything. So I have to go. I log into SQL Server manually through Management Studio. I manually update a couple fields in there, and then I have to go back, save it on the website to invalidate whatever stupid cache I built. And so like 10 minutes later, it's actually fit for publishing. It's horrible, which is one of the reasons that like I haven't posted a ton of news, because it's such an arduous process. So for all of those reasons, I'm not as say responsive often as I should be, or consistent. I try and get like a big story as it happens, but other than that, like there's not a whole lot of consistency there. I suppose if you look at it over the course of 2 decades, there's consistency, but from a day-to-day basis, there's not. However, I'm excited to say that that will all be changing in about 10 years. No, I'm kidding. That's just about 3 months. The new site is like almost done.
Wow.
And it will be mobile friendly. And I'm going to try and sort of honor the site as it exists now, because I do have some people that say, you know what, it looks dated, or it's not like every other site, but I appreciate that I can go to your homepage or whatever and see pretty much everything in one fell swoop without having to scroll page, et cetera. So I'm going to try and honor that sort of paradigm, and we'll see what happens. But if nothing else, it'll enable me to post things a lot more rapidly. So the volume of news posts should go up, and maybe, you know, it'll be decent for a change. So basically, this is what should have happened in 2009-ish, but didn't, because I started procreating and doing other things. And now I have like 18 kids, and I think
you do have a whole army of children.
I do. I do.
Yeah. Rob,
yeah,
now
very
you know,
powerful semen.
Now you know you have you have three months to take a pickaxe to his servers. So now you have a time frame.
Well, everything I do goes right into Rob's pockets pretty much. So I have to keep that in mind. I don't want to assess too much.
Lamgoat's success is my success.
Exactly.
We run their ads. So I'm all for Lamgoat. So did it start like you just wanted an excuse to like do programming? Because that's kind of why I started building websites.
Pretty much.
I was a kid too.
I think at that time, I just started. My father owned an advertising agency at the time, and I, because the web was new in the late 90s, he needed someone that could help. And so pretty much I learned it there, and then I needed a live actual environment with which to experiment, figure things out. And I thought, well, I like music, and I like music that's not necessarily normal, at least
mainstream,
from standard conventions. Obviously for us, it's like normal, insane. But for other people, like my mom, you know, it's not. So I did that. I launched it. And at the time, I don't know, you know, you guys were probably like 14 or something, but there wasn't a whole lot online for underground music. Like there'd be a site and it might get updated once a week. I think it was a site called LoudNet. I remember a few of them. But literally, you would like just check in every 5 days to see if something happened. So the playing field was wide open, and to my advantage, by postings, by doing daily or even, you know, biweekly updates, I was already ahead of the game. So it just kind of took off. I didn't expect it to. It was just a little hobby project thing. And I think what happened is I interviewed Trustkill Records near the beginning, and at the time that was like the underground hardcore label, and they sent a lot of traffic my way for that, and suddenly it just snowballed from there. And there was also no Facebook, there was no MySpace, no Twitter. It was
you
just
you guys had message boards
though. Right, yeah. Right, and that was pretty much the only way one could communicate in semi-real time. There was chat, but chat gets annoying because, you know, you feel it's burdensome, like you have to participate in real time, or they feel like you're ignoring you, or the conversation ceases, as opposed to a message board where you can post something, come back 10 minutes later, and the conversation continues. So what we didn't have, though, were all those distractions or those detractors from Lambgoat, there was, you know, no Facebook, which was probably, you know, the biggest help. But yeah, so the message board was the thing. And the message board in like circa 2005, 2006 was like ridiculous.
The best. It was the best.
It really was.
It was exciting, but yeah, it was a pain in the ass for me. Like I would go to bed at 10 p.m. and wake up at, I don't know, 5 or 6, and there'd be like hundreds of new threads, racist shit, sexist stuff, just spamming. So every morning was like cleaning up from what they called themselves the night crew. It would basically come in and it was like, you know, 4chan time where they would just
cause as much chaos
as they could.
And it's almost like a predecessor to 4chan too. Like you, cause it was like dark, edgy humor, but then it can veer off into like just ironic.
There was so much good gossip on it too. I just remember getting so much gossip. It was very entertaining.
Like music related gossip?
Just
scene
gossip. Yeah, just people I mean, like, who knows if it's true, but like, you know, like some singer getting called out for.
Yeah. You know, well, there was a lot of that. There was but it got, I don't say it got weird. It got strange in that these people started meeting. We had like message board marriages. There were a couple kids born. There were people who would call people they hated and try and get them fired from their job. Like they'd find out where they worked and they'd call up and be like, you know, so-and-so killed a dog last week. Did you know about this? And it was just this byproduct that
people
I
have to
didn't
ruin good
anticipate.
Things.
It's humans. They're horrible. So
I feel like, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so it was nice in that there was a shitload activity, but by the same token, it was a pain in the ass for me. And I had a love-hate. Well, I still have a love-hate relationship with it, I suppose.
Well, did you ever have like a Frankenstein's monster moment? Like, what did I create here?
Oh, yeah.
You know, like sometimes, you know, your intentions are good, but.
I would find myself apologizing to industry people when I talk to them. I'd be like, yeah, I run Lambgoat. Sorry. for whatever. You know, not only just the message board, but. The comments, the news comments became a bad thing too, like to the degree where people who were fans of the site, like Jake Bannon or whoever, would go on and see like these comments about them. And they knew it wasn't Lambgoat, but at some point it's hard to separate the website from the people that run it and the assholes who post there. So it's, you know, a lot of people got turned off that we enabled that sort of forum. And I'll admit, I tried my best to moderate it, but a lot of things existed there that shouldn't have. And in any case, pissed off a lot of people that otherwise liked the site. So I would have to sort of do damage control half the time when I spoke to people in the industry. Which,
did you
again,
notice?
Was a pain in the ass.
Like I noticed in 2016, 2015-ish, like commenting kind of changed. Did you notice that? Oh. Like with like the whole, like there was like this weird, like, things were so much different early in the aughts than in the tens, let's say, where like it wasn't as aggressive and now I feel like, whereas before I look forward to the comments, now I almost feel like comments on a lot of things shouldn't exist. You know,
absolutely. And I think that has happened to, I mean, I think TMZ took down their comments, Yahoo took down I know the Philadelphia Inquirer just took theirs down because the tenor of society and that sort of environment and forum is dreadful. And not only from a legal standpoint, it's just the optics of that sort of thing and allowing that just becomes more of a hassle than it's worth. And that's pretty much how it was for me. I knew I'd be sacrificing some income by saying no more news comments, but I just couldn't deal with it anymore. Not only the moderation, but just people thinking I'm, you know, somehow accepting whatever level of depravity exists there. Now, I will say I'm going to be bringing news comments back, but I'm not sure exactly how the moderation is going to take place, but it's going to be locked down much more. The last thing I want to do is, you know, read about someone who just died and then it's 50 comments of, you know, he sucked, the world's a better place now, blah blah blah, which was always the way it was. So I don't know exactly, maybe I'll put my you know, bevy of children to work, moderating something. But I want to bring them back for and have the good comments, but not the bad comments. So if I can make that happen, I'm going to try to make that happen, recognizing that it's going to be a struggle, especially in
maybe
our
you
corner
just,
of the world.
Maybe you just put that behind like a paywall, and then the true fans.
That's something I've considered. Everything's on the table. I want it so people can comment, but I need a good way of not having all the bullshit, and perhaps a paid wall is the most optimal way of doing that. I just don't know. Paywalls kind of annoy me by the same token, and I never wanted to do that. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm going to have to figure it out. But I just, you know, I always like the news comments, the good comments, because it was, you know, you want that instant feedback. You want to see if your impression of something you're reading jives with the general populace, again, in our small corner of the world. And not having that, I feel like it loses or it's lost some communal aspect. But, yeah, the bullshit, bad stuff has to go. So I can find a happy medium there. I'm going to do it. And if not, then the comments will continue to cease to exist.
Did you ever think about, or was there a moment where you considered doing this full time? Like, I know you dabbled in trying to do a label, and look, I mean, as someone who does it full time, it was quite a difficult leap, and I do not have children, so it's much easier for me to do it. So how was that for you?
Well, that's pretty much, as strange as it may be, that's pretty much the deciding factor there, the family thing. If I had no family, no kids at the time, you know, when it was at its peak, around the same time you guys took it to the next level, you know, I'd probably be in the same boat. It was just, I had a secure job with healthcare and benefits and all the stability I needed. And I just was never ballsy enough to make that leap. And part of me regrets it. Part of me doesn't. But yeah, it was definitely something I considered. It was too risky for me. At least I felt that way, particularly with the capriciousness of our income, you know, whether it's banner advertising or, you know, there's no stability. For that reason, that's why I never got to the next level that, you know, you and Metal Sucks and some other sites were able to get to that. And I never really wanted to cover the bigger bands, which I've sort of opened up my horizon a little bit over the years, but that is limiting as well. There's only so many, you know,
was there a moment like
fans out there.
Was there a moment back in the day where like your press credentials got you into a situation that was like, oh, cool, I can't believe I'm meeting this person or that I'm seeing this or experiencing this? Any like highlight moment?
You know,
through a press credential?
That should have been the case, but it wasn't, because I was like a hermit. I did all my, you know, I would not go to, I went to a few shows here and there, but part of it is where I live. I live in like an hour and a half north of Philly, and there are not a lot of good shows around here. And if I want to go to Philadelphia to watch a show, then it's like a whole day affair, or at least a half day affair. I got to drive down there and deal with that and wait around, and then 4 hours later the show's over and I got to drive another hour and a half back. So again, with the family and my interests, I'd rather like sit on the couch and read a book. I'm not antisocial, but I often can't be bothered to go through the production of getting to a show. If there was a venue down the street, I probably would have done that. But so to answer your question, there's been a few times where I've gotten to do things that, you know, we're cool. Like, I remember going to Sounds of the Underground in 2006, and I had this all access pass, and I just would wander around backstage and was like going through gore shit and watched Vision of Disorder from the stage and sat in a dressing room and drank beer with the Black Dahlia Murder and stuff, but like never to the level where I'm meeting, you know, Ozzy or something. But that's mostly because Lamb Goat's still, you know, it's a big deal for like Converge fans, but the big bands that would really like mean something to me. We're not on that level. I'm not barbecuing with Dave Grohl.
Oh,
Well, that's the mark of a real.
But I'm a bit envious, I'll say. But no, so I've used Lamgoat to get in a few shows here and there, but mostly I've probably been to like 5 shows in the last 10 years. So not a lot of opportunity for me to try and utilize whatever cachet Lamgoat has or doesn't have.
You were on the road. Hold on 1 second. You were on the road for Sounds of the Underground for like a few shows, right? Like I remember you had like a booth or something.
I had a booth, but that was not twas not I. It was some guy asked if he could. He like got this whole like Lamgoat banner thing made and set up a booth to sell CDs, and so he actually toured with them. But I only went to one show that year in Jersey, and then the following year I went to a show in Philly. But I guess they didn't make as much money that first, or at least the year I went, because the first year was in an amphitheater like Camden, where like Fish would play and Bruce Springsteen, like a huge deal. And then the second year they went to, in Philly, the Electric Factory, which is probably about 3,000, capacity.
Okay.
And it was like it wasn't the festival atmosphere. So my only takeaway was,
well, the bill was a little weaker, I feel, after. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that year, Every Time I Die was there, and Darkest Hour, and the Acacia Strain, and that rapper Necro guy who people were throwing batteries at.
Oh, yeah, people hated him. I remember that.
That
he
was
like,
wild.
He was cutting promos on the people.
Yeah,
I remember
he was a strange dude.
We were in Jersey for that. It was so fun. It was like the same day as Live Aid, and so there was a big projection in the backstage area. And like I just remember watching Pink Floyd's reunion with like A Life Once Lost and Testament members, and we're all just
which year was that? That was
the first year.
Oh, the first year. All right. Yeah, and that just shows what an old man I was. Rather than going to wherever it was that day, I was actually at a friend's house, sitting by myself in a room because they were out on the deck drinking, and I was watching the Pink Floyd performance because I'm like a huge Floyd head, and
same.
I didn't want to miss it. Nobody else cared, so I was like by myself watching it. And I wouldn't have been able to go to a show because I would have, it would have been too much. I need to focus on Floyd.
We were yelling at the screen when they cut away to like John Norris from like the best part of Comfortably Numb or whatever it was.
That's sacrilege.
What's your favorite Pink Floyd record?
Well, it's changed over the years.
Or of the moment. Yeah, I agree. For me as
That's
well.
A tough one. I'm almost to the point where I've listened to them all so much. I'll say probably, I think the album that I love to listen to the most that everybody or roundly considers the worst Pink Floyd album is The Final Cut. I love The Final Cut. I think it gets so much shit. It's a brilliant album. But Animals is probably, my favorite at this point. But that's because I listen to The Wall and Dark Side so much that they made me sick. So while I'm a huge Floyd person, I don't really listen to them too much anymore because I've already, listen to them too much. I've been on a Steely Dan kick for like the last 2 months, and it's not ending, and it's kind of getting frightening to me.
Metal is the one that I keep going back to for Pink Floyd. It's,
okay. Well, one of my favorite Floyd songs ever, Fearless, is on Metal. Mm-hmm. It's a bit of a deep cut, but Metal's a great one. Anything in the 70s, I'd say Metal through The Wall. Those are all.
Did you go see Roger Waters?
First time in months that Rob's mentioned liking metal. Good job, Rob.
Always a catch.
I've seen Roger Waters like 8 times.
Oh, okay.
He was one of the few people that I'd actually like leave my house to see.
Yeah.
And this is all very weird for the guy who writes about like, metalcore and shit, because I don't have a lot of allegiance, at least live. But again, it's because I'm older now. If I was 19, 20, 23, then fine. I'd probably be out and about and watching these shows. But I don't listen to a whole lot of heavy stuff.
I was going to say, like, how do you – like, I'm sure you get sick of it. Like, you only hear so many breakdowns. Like, for me, I can't listen to, for example, new gent bands, like bands that are new. It's just like, okay, there's nothing new here for me. I don't need this.
Yeah, it's all, retreads. I mean, I'll hear a song here and there where I'm like, I can appreciate this. It's good. The latest Veil of Maya song, it's like I dig it, but not to the degree where I find myself like putting it on repeatedly to jam to. It's just I have this sort of distance from the music now where I evaluate it from a critical standpoint, but I don't find myself particularly moved by it. That's not to say, you know, if I hear a good breakdown, you know, I'll still appreciate that and maybe go back and listen to it. But yeah, I'm not listening to these albums front to back. That's why I don't review much anymore, because I can't stomach listening to it. Not that I hate it. It's just, there's so much other things at my stage, this stage of my life, that I'd rather be doing than listening to this music. Not that I don't like it. It's just, I'm an old man, you know. I'd rather read, like, whatever, People Magazine. Actually, that's not true.
You should write reviews that are just a review of what you did instead of listen to this album.
That would be more compelling than a lot of what is read. But unfortunately, what I do is slightly more monotonous than the album itself. It'll be me watching a Seinfeld rerun or Grilling Salmon or, I don't know, tuning my guitar. Really, I live a very unexciting life, I must say. But I'm cool with that.
That's exciting. You know, you mentioned Rob talking about his time barbecuing with Dave Grohl.
Right.
I don't know if you know this, but Rob also is very, very good drinking buddies with Chad Kroeger. Detailed on this show.
Was that the same party? Okay.
So where I was grilling with Dave Grohl, just to give you the context, is there's like a music instrument convention, NAMM, which we
go to
solicit ads. And they have like a Dimebag Darrell Memorial show every year. And the last 2 years that they did it, Grohl would come down with his barbecue thing and cook for everyone. And so just all these artists are in the area anyway. So they come down to this thing because it's the only like hang. And Chad
that
Kroeger,
was close friends call him, by the way, Grohl. Is that like a thing that only the inner circle gets to say?
I have not in that circle, so I can't speak.
Okay.
But Chad Kroeger was really close friends with Dimebag Darrell and Vinnie Paul. They even wrote a song for Dimebag, I learned after. So he was there. And he was drawn, like he was a party animal. And there was a line for the booze, and we were like next in line. And Chad Kroeger really wanted drinks, so he cut the line. And he gave the bartender a $100 tip, and he bought our round for us for cutting the line. So it's like, that's all you need to do for me to be friends with you.
Oh, buy a drink. Absolutely.
Yeah. So now I'm friends with Chad Kroeger.
Money rules. Well, and Dave Grohl recognized you though. If I'm recalling correctly from some like video you did.
That's right. Yes.
Which
Dave Grohl did
awesome.
Recognize me. That was the most surreal thing ever. And I still can't really believe it happened just from like a video I did with Guar. Really, he recognized
Guar. Just the video I did with Guar. No big deal.
I used to work for their label. So I conned them into hiring me and Frank to produce like video content for them. And one of them was just like a skit where I interviewed Dave Brocky, where like the joke was, I mean, it's slightly less funny now, but he is a drug addict stealing stuff from Guar to get drugs, which is the Guar joke. And so he's seen this video a million times. He's shown – he was quoting the video to me, like quoting my lines to me verbatim. Like it was – he wasn't being a poser.
To return to Noah's question, that is like some sort of – surreal moment that I've never experienced, but the fact that Dave Grohl might have been, I don't know, sitting at his kitchen table eating toast in his boxers watching you is kind of a mind fuck, Frank.
I agree with you.
Rob is being modest, but Dave Grohl actually operates a Robert Pasbani fanzine. It's all print. It's not even online. It's
I need a subscription to that.
Yeah.
It's called Rob Goat.
That was the worst mistake I made, naming it Lamb Goat, because the times over the years I've been asked what Lamb Goat is, it's like I just want to smack people. Not that they don't know it's a website, but they're looking for some sort of, I don't know, some
like the band name
beat
thing.
Meeting deep meaning. And well, if I wear a lamb goat t-shirt, for instance, it's just like, I know I'm going to get asked like 50
times. What's a lamb goat?
Yeah, exactly. By like old women at the cash, you know, at the supermarket counter, or my aunt Mabel, who the knows, but yeah. And I never have a good answer.
Do you have anything?
Like, oh, okay. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, do you have anything in mind? Like if you could go back in time and change it, like what would you call the website?
Battle Injection. I honestly don't know. Well, let me say it's annoying for me, but by the same token, like it's kind of a memorable name. So I feel like it's not the metal this, metal that, or hard this or loud, which I kind of appreciate now in retrospect. Like I went a different route. But that's a tough question. I don't know. I feel like anything else would just sound generic, you know?
Yeah, I regret naming it Metal Injection. I feel it's limiting.
Like, yeah, it can only cover metal. Long, too. Like, its length has to be a pain in the ass sometimes.
Yeah, too many syllables. Yeah, I like that. Like, you guys are two syllables.
So Rob, what wanted would you to have named it, Rob, if not Metal Injection, if you could go back?
He wanted to do an onomatopoeia, like, and then he heard of Kerrang, so he's like, fuck that.
Oh.
I can't.
See, but nobody, that's a problem, because nobody ever knows how to spell it. And you always wanted to be able to say your name, .com, and then people, like, don't have to try and figure out how to get there.
It took months. I wish I still had my notebook of, like, different
I'd
names.
Like to see, yeah, all the rejected ones.
Yeah, yeah, because I remember I really, really thought about what the name should be. And, like,
Boobalicious.
But I knew at the time I knew I wanted metal in it because it would instantly explain what it was. But looking back, it's, you know, it's limiting now. Like I do cover more rock bands now, but I should have thought of that.
I thought you were going to say that your rejection is limiting. Like, you
know. Oh yeah. Well that too. Also the drug references were way funnier to me as a 20-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it's worked out for you.
Yeah.
Now that with the vaccine, injections are cool again,
that's
Rob.
True.
Yeah,
it's
very
that's
marketable.
Great. That's a good point. Well,
yeah,
I do want to
it depends who the audience is.
Well, yeah.
Cool
that's, well, yeah.
Yeah. 50% of America doesn't think it's so cool.
You know, I'm not sure if I've ever shared the story on the air before, but when we do our videos, we would, you know, our intro line is like, and you're getting your fix of metal injection. And we had Mike from I Hate God, who is a recovering heroin addict. And we asked him to do it. And it was the first time that it like, I connected back. He's like, man, that's fucked up. I don't want to say that. Like,
well, he did say that to you when you asked?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
You don't want to
wrote about him again.
That's the kind of thing that doesn't occur to you till like it happens.
Exactly. Exactly.
And then you're just like screwed because you weren't prepared.
Like, oh, it's just an edgy joke that I've never been called out on until this very moment. You know?
Yeah.
Like, you're right. It isn't funny.
Well, he wound up saying, you're watching, you're surrendering to a higher power on Metal Injection.
Fairly profound. For a guy. Well, I don't know. Yeah. Well, hopefully he's doing well. I'm not really up to date on the Mike Williams thing.
Yeah, I think they're putting out music.
Well, yeah, they so yeah, I you know, I just posted a review for that album, so like there's a new album.
Hopefully it's not on Relapse Records.
I'll have to ask Noah what's on my homepage so I can
Well, thanks for hanging out with us, man. You fit right in with us. I really appreciate it. It's been great talking to you.
Thank you. It was a delight, and yeah, I'll be here in the basement for the next 10 years, so
maybe we
you guys
can
have
follow
any
up.
Yeah.
Maybe we can follow up in 3 months when you launch the mobile.
Yeah, when you launch the new site, we'll have you back on. We'll talk development. We'll talk.
Yeah,
you know,
hey.
I'll let you know if I know how to make my way around it, because I'm pretty challenged when it comes to stuff like that.
Well,
I might have
to hit you up to do some beta testing, and you can tell me if that sucks, frankly.
But Noah has a Nokia flip phone, so it might not be the best.
That's what I'm looking for. I'm about 10 years behind everyone else. I got to stick with
perfect.
That. All right.
Well, the website is lambgoat.com. Thank you. Like,
oh,
Alex,
shit. I'm so sorry. I better mention this. We also have a podcast.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's
go
it
ahead.
Because I have someone who does the podcast, and he puts in a lot of time for really no financial reward at all. And that is the Van Flip podcast. And sometimes I join, sometimes I don't. But prior to the pandemic, he was, you know, he would record them in person. Like he'd pick up Franz from Attila at the venue, bring him to his place, feed him tequila, whatever. So it was actually pretty cool, but the pandemic made it all like Zoom and Skype based, which kind of blows. But in any case, recognizing that the pandemic will hopefully maybe kind of, I hope, end at some point. Yeah, we can get back to that. But yeah, so that's the Van Flip podcast. And thank you, Dave, for running that. And we try and put a new episode out every Tuesday. I think our next one is Buzz from the Melvin. So
nice.
Check it out. Yeah, where I asked him if anyone calls him Roger.
Nice.
Why not?
He seemed taken aback by that.
And I owe you an eternal gratitude for introducing me to Horse the Band. Debt of gratitude. Debt of gratitude.
Now that you mentioned that, that was the one band I tried to meet at the Sounds of Underground. Like I sought them out in the parking lot where all the vans and buses park, depending on your, you know, your level of stardom, if you will. Mm-hmm. And they were the only band not there. I was told they went sneaker shopping. And so I never got to meet Horse the Band.
Yeah, and you got so many people into that band that road, just by including that.
They are a fascinating band.
It did mention Sounds of the Underground. And I think the first time I ever really heard of Lamb Goat was when we were at Sounds of the Underground. And we interviewed the Devil Wears Prada, like kind of pranking them, like a... asking them dumbass questions. They were kind of like, you're from fucking Lamb Goat. All right. Like that guy's their first.
No. We read Lamb Goat. They were asking, we were like, oh, we don't even like Metal Injection. We read Lamb Goat. That was their
first. Oh, is that what they said? Oh, I thought they got pissed off at us.
Well, I'm sorry that was at your expense, but that's a great.
That was funny. It was hilarious.
Some of us aren't sorry.
I'm not sorry.
Thank you.
Fine.
It's fine. Well, that's cool. That's funny.
Well, thank you so much, Alex. Much success. With Lamb Goat.
Thank you. You yes, too. And you. And all of you. I will have to check back in the live cast. I never watched. But now I'm such a narcissist. I had to pay attention and I will watch going forward. But again, thank you, Noah, for sending Rob news to post that he's already posted and just making him feel inadequate.
Yeah.
My pleasure.
Nice. Good to have a Riley.
He needs an ego check once in a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
Amen to that.
I keep him down to earth.
Good job. All right,
guys,
I'll let
enough.
You go. Thank you.
Thanks,
all right,
Alex.
Have a good
all
one,
right.
Alex.
See you.
All right, that was Alex from some other website.
By the way, Sid, great job containing yourself and not having being petty about the same hat being worn.
I'm trying, you know. I welcome people to the family. I don't want to hat shame. I think mine was a nicer hat.
It was a little bit like I kept envisioning like a 1950s sitcom where the two ladies would wear the same dress, you know, and one of them had to go change or they weren't going to the party.
I mean, it did cross my mind. But there were different colors at least. I have the black one. He had the white one. So
true.
It's fine.
But it's a look. Like they're, you know, with the thicker glasses and stuff.
That's
so
close.
You're going to run into someone who has a similar look.
I don't run into people.
Well, you used to run into people.
Yeah, infrequently, but yes. Pandemic's been great for me.
I say the pandemic is your excuse to keep doing what you were doing.
Uh-huh. And now my excuses are just extra cautious.
I have to say, early on in the pandemic, Sid, I very much share that sentiment. I'm like, you know, all right, I'm fine with taking a break from hanging out. But now I'm very much missing it, you know, like a year in. I'm of two minds. I'm missing it, but also having anxiety is too strong of a word, but let's just use it here. Like this anxiety about like having to make plans with people again,
yes.
You know, like it's been nice. It's been nice and not nice, but there's been a niceness to not having anything to do.
The way I would sum it up is like, I miss having the option of doing that if I want to. But I don't actually miss doing it.
Here, that's the thing. You're right. The thing that I miss is the relief of canceling plans. which I don't have now because I don't have plans, so I can't cancel them.
Oh, I love that feeling.
That was wonderful, yeah.
That's one of the best feelings, mm-hmm. isn't it, Sid?
Now I have a thing today, but I could just not do it. Just text the person a lie about why I can't make it, and then I can hang out at home.
It's the worst feeling leading up to it where you're just like, oh, God, I really don't. And then it's just like such a relief just being honest and just being like, I can't.
Or being dishonest, whatever it is, whatever gets you out of it.
I would tell you what a better feeling than that is, like waking up on Christmas morning when you don't want to do something and the person cancels on you. Out of the blue.
When they do it for you.
You're trying to work yourself up into it, and then they just, hey, man, I just can't make it. I'm sorry. Oh, really? Oh, so forward to that. Fuck. All right. I understand. All right. Fuck you. Then you make the mistake, right? Then you go, we got to make plans. We got to see each other in like 2 Saturdays.
Yeah, you overcompensate. And then you.
And they go, sure. And they go, what did I just do to myself?
Yeah.
Was out the door. I was like, the cop was letting me off the hook on a seatbelt. And then I said, no, I had it on. I just took it off. And then he gives me a ticket.
Yeah. Then Rob pulls out the one hitter.
We all go to jail.
Well, it's legal. It's going to be legal in New York now. So, and all past criminal convictions expunged. Not that we had any conviction.
No, we had an ACR. But
what is that?
I forgot what it stands for, but it's when you just get
almost convicted with Rob.
Yeah. No, it's like a ticket that. So it's like probation. Like you have to go, you have a hearing and then it gets sealed or something. I don't remember what it stands for, but it's like less than a court case.
Well, either way, but it's interesting. It's very exciting that marijuana cannabis. I've read something that, the term marijuana.
Yeah.
It's not saying it's racist is like too strong, but like the origins of the term in American nomenclature come from like scare tactics.
Yeah.
Because from Reefer Madness, they were saying like this drug from Mexico will poison your children. So instead of calling it cannabis the Spanish word for it, which is marijuana.
Where did pot come from? Why is weed pot?
That I don't know. But so you'll notice that in government filings, they don't call it marijuana. They call it cannabis.
Hmm.
Interesting little.
Because the government is so racially sensitive.
Yeah.
Just fewer letters. It's probably cheaper somehow.
I have to say they did a really good job with like the racial portion of the bill in terms of, allowing, like making sure that the black and brown neighborhoods that have been affected by the drug war would get equal or better access to these dispensaries, and like there's going to be a foundation that will help people in those communities start up businesses with cannabis. So
I don't think we mentioned this, but you should say that we're talking about at the New York State level.
In New York specifically, yeah, because it took forever for them. They've been working on it for years, and I think last year it was almost legal, but the issue was there wasn't enough about letting out people with prior convictions and all the stuff that I just mentioned.
Well, it's still not passed.
It's not passed. They're supposed to be signing it this week. The news that happened is that Cuomo and the state legislature agreed to the terms. So it's just a formality at this point, allegedly.
Okay.
So we'll
see. How do you
see,
feel about them firing the staff from the White House for pot use?
So just to give a little further context, like came out that six people were let go because they said that they've used pot recently or something like that.
Recent? I thought it was just they had said they had done it in their life.
No, because there were some people who they weren't specific with what happened, but six people basically got let go for pot. But then the defense was, oh, there were more people that weren't let go because there's just, I think it's bullshit. No one should be like fired for past pot use.
Well, especially when the vice president admitted to past pot use.
And when their agenda was decriminalizing it. So, and,
right.
and like, you know, his whole thing is like, oh, you know, it's a pointless arrest. I don't want people arrested. So, but, so it doesn't add up to me. I didn't like it.
Good. I didn't like it either.
In general, I think it should be legal federally. It's bullshit. That it's at the very least, he said he was going to declassify it, and he has yet to do that. Because right now it is
decriminalize.
Declassify. You're right. Decriminalize. You're right. Thank you.
Today
right
on on Metal Injection, we asked two potheads what they think of people being fired for pot.
Bro. Right now
like
it is. But no, it is a Schedule I drug, which means there can't be any federal research into the drug because it is a Schedule I.
And by the way,
let's talk about some other
Schedule I drugs, by the way.
I want to point out cocaine is not even a Schedule I drug.
Right. Cocaine, Schedule I means it has no medical or any kind of positive use to it, and it's only harmful.
It's heroin. LSD, peyote, ecstasy.
Yeah, Schedule I is the worst drug according to the law.
Yeah. Schedule
II. Pot is classified as a Schedule I drug?
Yes, which is ridiculous. It's they're saying it's as bad as heroin, as LSD, as peyote, as ecstasy, and as meth, which it is not.
I don't know anyone personally. The person I would get weed from was always you, Rob, in New York. Mm-hmm. But for the people who are making extra cash selling it, not illegally, if the dispensary is open, does that mean that they lose their income?
Well, not all of it, but yeah, that's why a lot of drug dealers aren't for legalization, but. The thing is, right, they can just leave. They can
But they can't make the same amount of money in the store that they would on their own.
Right,
you know,
it's off
when
the
you
books.
Get into an illegal line of work, that's the risk you run.
Well, here's the thing. It's legal in
Or find
LA.
Something that's still illegal. How about that?
Yeah.
Sorry. Well, there will still be a black market for it because the legal market will be taxed. So it'll be a little more expensive. The trade-off is you know where it's coming from. You know that it's been – you know, grown in state and like
farm to table weed.
Well, you don't know where I don't know where the weed I smoke is coming from. You don't know.
Has that been a problem so far?
I would like to know. It's better to know. It's nicer. It's really nice in LA. I mean, look, I'm not complaining. I have an amazing service. Like
Kushner.
So, it's practically legal in New York anyway. The only difference is you can't go into a store and buy it, which is it's been such a dream of mine for 20 years to just be able to go to a bodega and buy some pre-rolls and just be able to go outside and smoke water. And that and also go to a weed bar, which this legislation has consumption clubs, they're called. So people will be able to open up weed bars, which it's like that was the one barrier that I told people would prevent me from leaving the house because it's like I don't like going to bars because I'd have to leave and like sneak around smoking pot. If I could smoke in the bar, I'd be hanging out all the time.
I just want to say something. I don't think it's really true that the only difference between now and after this bill is that stores will be able to sell weed. There's
for me,
people
for me,
that get locked. Yeah, for you, for white
yeah,
people.
I mean,
black people get locked up for weed all the time still.
Absolutely. It's bullshit. But also,
I
wasn't
being critical of you, by the way. I just think we should mention that.
I'm saying like, yeah, like my life is legit. Like I get a delivery service. I get these fancy little tubes that tell me what each weed, you know, like, so it's like,
I mean, if somebody wanted to fuck with you, they could easily, like if a cop for some reason, they could easily throw 100%. You in jail right now.
100%. Well, no, they can't.
No, they
can't
throw you in jail unless he's carrying like 6 ounces or something.
Because I have them in all these various little containers, they could pop me on intent to sell, which is bullshit.
Yeah.
Except Noah just said that you used to hook her up, so there's evidence.
Noah's out of state.
It's on tape.
Hold on,
wow,
someone's knocking at my door, guys.
This is a video confession.
Oh, wait, Darren's the one getting arrested for
someone,
me.
Someone's at the door. Hold on, let me pause. Yeah.
What? The cops? switching topics, you know, all of us have, if you're watching the Patreon video version of the episode, which, by the way, another bonus of the Patreon subscription is you get video versions of our episodes, which I didn't mention. We'll have to get Alex from Lamb Goat to subscribe so he can watch the show. Otherwise, you could hear it. But
well, he
could
watch it live if people are listening live on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern. They could see the video.
The live video feed is free, and then the archive video is on the Patreon. Thank you for pointing out that distinction, Noah. That's important. Earlier this week, or late last week, I should say, Lil Nas X.
Or as Chuck Blendington says, Lil Nas X.
Lil Nas X put out a video called Call Me By Your Name. That's like the sub name of it. I forget what the name is.
Montero.
Thank you.
Montero.
And the video features himself going down a stripper pole into hell, giving Satan a lap dance.
Ooh.
And then snapping Satan's neck and then grabbing his horns. And then Lil Nas X becomes...
He snapped his neck? I thought he caressed it.
No, he did like the, you know, like
snapped his fingers, snapped his neck.
Mm-hmm. And then he took his... And not only that, Lil Nas X released he did a little marketing thing where he put out a shoe called Satan's Shoe.
That's really what it's called? Just Satan's Shoe?
Yes. It's a modded Nike Air Max sneaker.
What is Satan about a shoe? Do you just have always have a rock in it or something?
Like... It has a pentagram and it has like dye mixed with human blood.
See,
I thought it was Nas X's blood, but it wasn't.
It's Gene Simmons's blood. That's the marketing director.
Yes, I have I'm collaborating with Lil Nas X, or Lil
what
Nas
X,
as we call him in Yisrael.
Move Gene out of here. What was Darren going to say before I cut you off?
I was going to say, I feel like a shoe that wants to represent Satan should just be really uncomfortable. Like, it should have spikes in it. You know, I feel like this is all decoration. Like, the comfort
right.
shoe.
Right. Well, it's hype.
It could just
be a Nike
shoe. It doesn't need all this other stuff on it.
Nike was not involved in this. So this company, Mischief.
Oh, we don't want to make them look bad. Yeah.
No. Well, they're
sue us like they're suing the company.
Exactly. So this company, Mischief, bought 660 pairs of these Nike Air Max 97 shoes, and then modded them with so this pentagram design.
It's like a pendant.
And then
it
has
the cool thing about the sneaker.
Yes, I agree. It has a Bible verse on. Oh, I guess this is where the blood is right here on the bottom.
Yeah,
in the bubble.
I'm not sure this is the best time to be selling products infused with human bodily fluids.
I know.
It's just a gimmick. It's fine. I believe you can, what's it called? Detoxify the blood? I would hope they did.
Yeah.
Before.
I'm sure Lil Nas X oversaw all the rigorous medical standards involved.
Well, these 660 pairs sold out. So also it has a Bible verse, and the Bible verse is about Satan falling from heaven.
And it's also the cost of the sneaker. So it's 666 pairs that were sold out. And they were sold for $1,000.
I didn't put that together.
But isn't that like kind of anti-Satan by like kind of celebrating that he fell from heaven? Like he didn't want to fall from heaven.
You know, it's celebrating hell. It's celebrating, sin or whatever.
But he was cast into hell.
Naturally, And to be clear, the reason they're called Satan shoes is this company did Jesus shoes Jesus walk on water shoes the week before, which had the gimmick was they had holy water in them.
For fuck's sake. How much did they cost?
I don't know. I don't know what the price was here. I'm
assuming
it's $4,225.
Company.
Right. So their whole thing is just like drops, like overpriced drops of small quantity things. So naturally, this is like fucking red meat to Fox News and conservative Christians. And, oh, my God, our children. Because Old Town Road, his big breakthrough hit last year, it became a huge, huge hit where, kids were singing it, and which is kind of weird because there's a verse in that song about adultery and doing drugs, but that's okay.
I miss the Old Town Road.
And what I love – and so – and the best part is they were associating it with Nike. Like Nike is doing this. Nike had no involvement, and Nike got so much bad publicity from these conservative outlets that they're suing the shoe company for using their brand, for creating confusion in the marketplace and all this bullshit.
Wait, you think that's why Nike is suing them, because they got bad publicity or because of a trademark infringement, which is what the lawsuit is about?
Yeah, but he's saying they wouldn't give a shit about the trademark infringement.
Yeah, there's plenty of shoe modders.
They probably had no idea that this company was ripping off their brand, but because there was so much awareness to it, I don't know if I would connect the two things. I don't think it's because of. I think it's just... like due to the fact
so
that
so you're saying even if there wasn't this conservative outrage, Nike would still be suing them?
Yes. I think if he had a popular, let's say people didn't care about the whole Satan thing and he made a sneaker and it blew up and Nike got tagged and stuff like that, or they found out that their company, that they're essentially reselling their design.
Modded sneakers, yeah.
Yeah, they would still sue. I mean...
It's a thing, though. It's a thing.
I don't think
it's a whole
illegal scene. Wouldn't trademark infringement be if they made their own sneakers and then slapped a Nike logo on them? These are actual Nike sneakers.
Right, they paid full price for the Nike sneakers, then created an art piece out of them, theoretically, and are selling the art piece. They can argue that they're not...
Nike.
Because it's a
Nike shoe.
In the
lawsuit.
This is
absolutely. It's a gray area. I agree with you, Noah. I'm not disagreeing with you that Nike is within its rights to not want to be affiliated with this. But I'm just saying the other side of it is it could be a free speech issue where it's just the gray area is there in this tweet. They're advertising that this is a Nike Air Max, but. That's the shoe. That's saying, oh, I bought an Apple MacBook and I modded it and I put all this art on it and you're buying this art piece that's an Apple MacBook with my art on it. That kind of thing. Mm. That's the same thing they're doing with this.
Look at these replies, by the way. It's hilarious.
Hell no.
What kind of devil shit is this? They're literally saying devil shit. It's not like they spotted it.
That's the best one.
Devil shit. Buy these devil sneakers. Holy, what kind of devil shit is this?
Maybe he means this critically, but actually, which kind of devil does this represent?
And Beelzebub.
Yeah.
It was great. These Fox News people are losing their shit about it. And they're blaming Nike. So here,
and singer Lil Nas X causes uproar over shoes that contain a drop of real human blood. The so-called Satan shoes are to promote his newly released music video. Each shoe features a Bible scripture and upside down cross. 666 pairs will be available starting tomorrow, with one pair costing more than $1,000. No, dear.
That's the headline.
Drop of blood.
Fuck is going to pay so much money for that.
People do. It's crazy.
Sneaker culture is outrageous.
And are you going to wear it or are you just going to display it? Like, what is the point?
Yeah, it's an art.
It's a collectible.
Yeah.
It's a slightly fungible token.
you know who makes them?
Who?
Nike. Whoa. That's the Nike shoe with the sign of Satan on the top called Satan Shoe.
Get out of here.
This is got to be. I saw it before the show.
They just
you can't have the best
react to keywords. They don't even know how to read.
Nike made Satan shoes.
I heard
Will's in disbelief. He's like, I'm just.
I heard Lil Nas X is being sued by Nas for marketplace infringement.
Should.
Missing a piece of information. This game. You're not. Because you know how many.
Look at how sure he is in this incorrect information.
Said, I'm just amazed that a Fox News host is showing critical thinking, even slightly.
What?
Like, they must have pulled him off air. Like,
what was the critical thinking?
Where he's like, this can't be the whole story. That can't be a Nike shoe. Like, he's sort of actually getting to the actual truth of it. And the other guy's like, no, we got to be mad at Nike. This is Nike's doing this.
Look who has the final word.
They're torn between conservative outrage and defending corporations.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know which
one
to do.
Yeah.
Those are the two sides of any Fox argument.
Kidding me. I'm not kidding.
It's a little weird.
Look it up.
A little odd.
It's when up is down and down is up. And that's exactly where we are as a culture.
All right.
It's really
Adam,
Adam,
sure. Would you buy those shoes just out of curiosity?
Well, hey, I'm just here to do the weather.
Our weatherman is a known Satanist, so let's see. What does he say?
He kicks up his leg and he's wearing it.
Well, spoiler, the weatherman is the voice of reason.
Could he say yes now? I was gonna dodge this. They're not really Nike. They're Nike shoes, but there's a middleman who bought Nike shoes and is turning them into these.
Is that
really? Nike's not making these shoes. So it's like I'm positive about that. But Nike probably could shoot them if he wanted for you.
That
is a weatherman.
Yeah.
That is a weatherman that I can trust. Yeah. Maybe he'll give the real weather.
The weatherman did more research than the fucking anchors on this show. It's ridiculous.
From way back.
All right, well, that's out of the way. 172 degrees in Tampa, Florida today.
So I wrote this editorial.
Oh, boy.
Cashing in on the Lil Nas X hysteria. And my piece is basically like I was writing about, first of all these conservative Christians are in a panic about Lil Nas X and how it made me long for when metal would make conservative Christians have such a panic. And what I essentially, my conclusion is, you know, metal has been doing this for 40 years, and it's not interesting when metal does it. And metal in general right now, there is no mainstream interest. Like, metal can do, like a Cannibal Corpse released a video that was 50 times more offensive than the Lil Nas X video, but nobody on Fox News, you know, threw a fit about that. I guess they should have had Satanic Nikes maybe as well.
Is it because of Greg Gutfeld and he like protects the metal bands from Fox News because they're all
he
friends?
Is a metalhead.
That's what I'm
That's
saying.
True. That one Fox anchor. Basically it was just like, you know, metal needs to be more mainstream. Metal needs to get in
does
these
it?
Kind of conversations. Yeah, because
what?
that's how
Rob makes money.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
that's
yeah.
what it comes
it's
down
not,
to.
It's not. It's
so
how
Rob
the whole scene makes money.
Rob is the mischief of metal.
I am the mischief, but there needs to be little Nas X's as well, because then it'll get young people into metal. Like,
isn't Slayer the Nas X?
I mean, 30 years ago.
No one's covering Slayer, what Slayer's doing. No one cares what Slayer's doing.
Rob,
no one cares what
metal,
any metal bands are doing.
Rob takes the metal and mods it so that it's a liberal pinko commie news.
So I wrote this thing, and it kind of blew up on Twitter. And then it blew, like, people were retweeting it, and I was getting a lot of compliments about, like, yes, I was just thinking about this. But then I was also noticing this weird phenomenon where people were implying that I was gatekeeping Satan. Like I was trying to say Satan belongs to heavy metal, and how dare Lil Nas X do that, which I was not saying at all.
Yeah, it's just people that just saw the headline and didn't actually read the article.
So I've thought about this. So I think it's based on my tweet. On my personal Twitter, I tweeted the article, and I wrote an editorial on how it makes me sad/jealous to see Lil Nas X grabbing the satanic spotlight that used to belong to heavy metal. Now, I can see how, if you didn't read the article, you might assume that I'm saying that's the gatekeeping, like this Satan belongs to heavy metal.
Except you say jealous. Even in that, you're like sort of self-deprecating and like
I know, but
undercutting
he said it belongs. I think it's the word
belonged.
People.
right?
Sure. That used to belong.
Yeah.
Used to, yeah, that, okay.
So it no longer belongs.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying.
Can't he belong to all of us?
Satan
really,
is for
does.
Everybody. That yeah. Satan, everybody should love Satan. That's ultimately, perhaps it was a poor choice of words, but there were so many people so quick. Like, it was actually fascinating to see people yeah. so quick to jump to call me like a metal boomer or that like they were trying to
episode
say
title,
that.
By
like,
the way.
Yeah, please.
One response was like,
you
literally.
Fall into the Eddie Trunk category.
Oh, no.
Now
Rob.
You know what he feels like. I'm sorry, I had to go there.
So you could say it. It's okay. So here's something. Here's
joke.
An exchange. Just got a tiny glimpse of how pissy Lil Nas X is making metal boomers, and allow me to say, LOL. Like what? I'm not. Like I'm saying Lil Nas X did a good thing. Like it's great that Lil Nas X is pissing off Christians, and I wish metalheads would piss them off that much. You know. Metal boomers are now apparently anti-satanic imagery. Took a gay black man to do it, but here we are. So I'm also homophobic now. So, and there's been countless others like that to the point where there's been a majority positive response to this, but it was just this 10% response where I'm like, what? How do you even get this?
Yeah, but that's Twitter.
Yeah,
that's basically the point I was getting at. It's any position, and you can have the best intentions. People are just on there looking for somebody to dunk on. Like, it didn't matter what I was saying. It didn't matter what my thought was. Mm-hmm. They were arguing with this imaginary person in their head who has wronged them. That 'cause there are metal boomers who think satanic imagery belongs to metal, and you know, rappers shouldn't be doing this stuff or whatever feelings they have on rap, and they're projecting that kind of thing onto what I said, which was not what happened.
Is it still going on today, or is it calmed down?
It's calmed down, but the metalheads are some of the most insufferable people on the planet.
Well, that's true.
Sure.
Who? Wait, is that a comment someone wrote? Oh.
I should at least go back and retweet that one.
Not you people gatekeeping Satan. Just people kept saying I'm gatekeeping Satan, which I was just like, okay. That was
people just like to stand on a soapbox on Twitter. That's what it is.
Yeah, and I noticed it was all like, I was looking at these profiles, lots of anime avatars, lots of 20-year-old, early 20s.
Don't go there.
It's very. It's just. I'm saying it's a certain demographic that took it this way.
Mm-hmm. Our Discord feels very seen right now.
It doesn't make you a bad person. It's just. It's a barometer of certain opinions. Right.
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
I'm really glad. Nice people have like anime. I like anime. My avatar.
Oh man, there's some people that did like a whole thread about.
Oh god, Rob is not going to pay attention to the podcast.
I'm sorry.
Might as well just read what they wrote now.
Just delete Twitter. Just delete it. Delete it, Rob. Control.
No, I'm not going to delete it. How many followers does this person have? Well, they have a good amount of followers.
Wow, he's really. We are getting to see Rob in his natural habitat right now.
I'm just saying. I'm very glad I muted this because now I found new threads that I would have just been sucked into all day. And it's so distracting too. That's the other
thing. It's hard being famous and when people like hear your opinions and have opinions on your opinions.
Yeah, putting yourself out there is difficult.
Should have popped out 8 kids like Lamgo. Then you wouldn't have time to focus on all this.
But then they'd be the ones tweeting about how he's a metal boomer. Can you believe what my dad wrote? What an asshole. Babka's already doing that on her dog Instagram.
Oh, man. Undoctor.
A bunch of Pazabinis running around.
Just because I live with this man does not mean I condone his horrible opinions about Lil Nas X. Woof, woof.
It's like Hulk Hogan signing the posts. Woof, woof. Like HH.
And then it's just a picture of her pissing on Rob's bong.
Get me the wrong kind of kibble, huh? Here's
yeah,
what
that's right.
Rob's not even hearing a word we're saying.
I'm still on this. I'm like, oh my
transfixed.
God. Do we have any mutuals?
As I start eating on the air. Rob's
just
zoning
read
out.
Read that loud, Rob. Share it with the group at this point.
No, don't. Don't do it. I don't. It's too toxic. Just close it.
It's actually no. I disagree. This is the only time it's appropriate when we can get some entertainment.
Yeah,
out of it.
Exactly.
Not when he's wasting his time outside of the show. Rob, give us a couple. Come on, give us the highlights.
Yeah, what is it? What is that?
Chocolate. Maybe he's frozen. Oh, no, Aaron.
Hold on. I want to see if I'm getting this right. Heavy metal is now trying to gatekeep, check notes, Satanism. Also, I like how I'm speaking for all of heavy metal.
Right.
Well, that's the mantle you carry, Rob.
Yeah, you're the chacham of metal.
That's right.
See, a chacham would truck no Satanism, sir.
Yeah.
It's interesting. That's what it is. People are just responding to my tweet, not my actual editorial.
Yeah, because
which is so funny. I spent maybe an hour on this editorial. I spent 10 seconds on the tweet. And it's the tweet that's getting me in trouble.
Yeah, it shows.
I don't even know. What does that even mean?
I don't know. I just wanted to.
I like the delivery.
Thank you.
I'm with you, Noel.
All right. I'm closing it. We could wrap it up.
Yeah, Rob
Wind
wants to end
down.
The show so he can go on Twitter
yeah.
on his couch.
No,
and
I know.
Like
I
deep into this rabbit hole.
I want to stay away from it. I muted the thread. I muted, like, other. I was like, I'm done with this. Earlier today, I was like, I can't handle. I get it. Because it's that, like, dopamine rush of when your phone lights up. It's like, oh, God, what did somebody say now? You know, and you have to look at it. It's like, oh, somebody liked it. Okay, great. Or, oh, it's a positive one. But then it's like, oh, God, this person totally misinterpreted it. And it's, anyway.
But at least it's not like 50 dumb interpretations. It's all the same dumb interpretation.
Yeah, that's fair.
And at least it's not like a legitimate negative interpretation.
Yeah.
That's when you really feel like shit.
They're really just all telling
right.
on themselves. That's all it is. They're all just like, hey, I wanted to have some social media cred, but I didn't actually read the article.
There is still like a part of me, though, that just wants to be liked by everybody.
I think that's a part of everyone's humanity.
Yeah.
So even though
I fully recognize what you guys are saying about like the type of people these are, it's still like, I wish we could get along.
Don't insult their anime avatars then, buddy.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
How did I insult their anime avatars? I didn't insult them.
I just said
I noticed a lot of these people have an anime avatar.
Keep digging.
Someone did the thing where they quote tweeted my tweet with the full size version of my avatar.
Just, what do you have on there?
It's just
the green cartoon character of your face.
No, I'm wearing the Pentagon mask.
Oh, okay.
Just kind of like, look at this doofus who's making this, which is like, oh, I don't deserve this. Not this treat for me. No, I don't want to be this.
Wait until they see your old interviews, but maybe it'll bump up all the hits on YouTube. It'll make some extra cashish.
Maybe. But okay, let's move on.
Now Rob has shifted his gaze to another screen where he has Twitter open.
yeah. I'm looking this way, but it's still Twitter. I've just moved the window.
This is wrestling Twitter now. My God, I can't believe what they said about Rob Van Dam.
Wrestling Twitter is also somehow talking about me.
What are they
saying? That's because they're loving Square Circle Pit.
Oh, well, thank you.
Little plug.
I just put up a...
She didn't say she loves it. She said those people are.
But they love it.
She's waiting for the Lamb Goat Wrestling Podcast.
Oh, damn. That's what I forgot to bring up. You know what? When Alex calls me in for the beta testing, I'll be sure to add that one.
He needs another way to dunk on Rob by posting stories about something other than metal.
No,
I somehow
you should
got back
start
into...
sending him like gossip about Rob that he could post on his
site. Can you believe what Rob posted about gatekeeping Satan?
Yeah, he can signal boost that backlash.
And then it'll, you know, like all that money that he's not making on Lambgoat, like that article from all the trolls on Twitter will make him the cash.
Yeah.
You know what you should do now, if you really want to go deep cover, you get an anime avatar and then go and dunk on Rob and provoke him. He'll never know because, you know, he associates all the anime avatars with the dunks. And then you run the Lambgoat and after you made him angry, they can report on what he said.
Yeah, I'll be a mole.
Rob, you went all Satan on your image there. It's all dark. It looks like you're
becoming red.
He's reading more tweets.
That's just Rob getting angry.
Well, the sun is setting now, so I'm not getting as much light in the room.
I'm actually fuming reading these tweets.
No, I've turned it off. I don't like looking at it. I turned it off.
You seem like you like looking at it.
I implore every livecast listener to find that tweet of Rob's and retweet it with your own nonsensical dunk on him, just so he gets more and more confused. Like, who
I
are
won't see
people?
It. I told you, I muted it.
It's. I'll show you. I'll see the links.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I mean, you can show me. That's fine.
Share
a dopamine overdose.
Yeah.
Well, I want to mention our livecast music break. Every week we pick four songs. Each of us picks a song. And we let you listen to it. You can subscribe on Spotify to the list. We put all the songs in one list. So it's like a giant list. It keeps getting bigger and bigger.
Can I say a real quick anecdote? The other day I was driving around and I wanted to put music on. And I was like, I don't know what to listen to. I don't feel like listening to the same artist. And I was like, wait a minute, I can listen to the Metal Injection Livecast music break. And I had it on shuffle and I heard some stuff I recognized because I chose it. And then I heard some stuff I didn't recognize. And it was pretty good.
By the way, I've also been keeping my own playlist of just the songs I add to it, which is fun to listen to. I don't know if you do that, but I was thinking maybe we can one day do that. If you take like 15 minutes and round up all the songs and, you know, people can listen to what Noah contributed or what I contributed and so on. I thought that would be a cool idea.
Or they could do a game where they try to figure out who contributed what.
That too.
Right.
So this week, I'll give it away that I contributed Health. The song is Feel Nothing. Health is a really cool industrial band from L.A. And I really dig the song. Like, the melody got stuck in my head this morning. And so that's why I wanted to share it. It's a really, really pounding industrial with very melodic vocals. Highly recommend it.
Okay.
All right. Sid, what did you pick?
I picked a song by the band The Lunachicks because I used to work for their record label back in the day. And I saw this week that there's a new biography about them coming out, which I have already pre-ordered. I'm very excited to skim it to see if my name is mentioned somehow or if I'm in any of the pictures. Or if at the very least they talk some shit about the owner of Go Kart Records, who I used to work for. Hopefully they hate him now. That makes me feel good. And so I was thinking about their music. Okay, that's my time.
Joe Biden. I'll stop talking now.
Noah?
What did you pick?
I chose Bill Withers, a classic. He actually died a year ago today.
Oh, wow.
Hashtag RIP a legend.
Definitely hashtag RIP a legend. And the other day I was watching a live concert he did in the 19, I think in like the early 70s. It was a BBC concert and I was just listening to it and it was just so good. He is a very good guitar player, had a really good backing band, and I just really appreciated it. And he has some songs where if you just kind of like listen to the bass, it could be metal. So I wanted to add a particular song, but I couldn't remember which one it was today. So I just I just added Ain't No Sunshine, which is a classic, and you just, how can you not groove to it? And RIP a legend, Bill Withers. Go look him up if you don't know him.
Cool.
Darren?
I played Death, not the metal band, but the pre-punk band that I'm sure Sid knows. Everyone says that they're punk. I feel like they're more like sort of even thrashy and like funkish, you know, but they're just a three-piece band from the early 70s from Detroit and really awesome. And feed my kind of like mixed classic rock and thrash leanings kind of fused into one thing. So, and Politicians in My Eyes is the song, which I think is just great imagery, you know.
I have Politicians in My Eyes.
Very nice. Very nice.
Do you like Death? I'm curious.
I've only heard like a song or two. They're one of the ones that I meant to get into, and then I just got lazy and stopped listening to music, so now I don't get into things. But they just missed the cut.
Oh,
but
okay.
I will listen to the song you put on the playlist, and maybe that will awaken something in me.
It's rare that I like a punk band, you know, even not a full-on, like, what I would think of as a stereotypical punk band, but there's definitely punk in there, in that soup, and I feel like we don't always, you know, you like a lot of things I like. I feel like I don't like a lot of things you ardently like, and I want to know what your opinion is on that. You have a much wider taste than I do. I'm not insulting your taste at all. I'm saying I'm very narrow when it comes to being eclectic with music, so I'm just curious.
I think the song that I heard back in the day sounded good. I'm sure
cool.
It's good.
While you guys were talking, I
oh, no.
like a drug addict, went back to the thread. It's your own fault. You made me talk about it. But I do want to say, in one of the people that dunked on me, I looked at their thread, and in the quote, in the replies, one of their friends read the story and was like, oh, it's actually not gatekeepy. It was more like, damn, that's awesome. How do we get the media to pay attention to our nonsense? Because it's not for lack of trying. So that's nice.
All right,
and then the original person just said that quoting Maroon 5 invalidated what I was trying to say.
You quoted Maroon 5?
Oh yeah, because he said something about how there's no more rock bands.
Wait, so you've been responding to these tweets?
No, he's
no,
talking
in
about
my article.
Article.
In the article,
no, he
I
did
quoted,
respond to some tweets.
I did respond to some tweets just initially to be like,
I thought
hey,
it was muted. How did you know they were?
Mm-hmm.
No. So let me explain.
Did
let
you
me
just
explain
do it now.
This.
I have to go back to work.
No, I wrote the article yesterday, and then like in the first hour or two, I was getting responses and something, and I was like, no, you're misinterpreting whatever. But then after a while, I was like, it hit a point where like this one, like the first few people that did it, they did engage with me and were like, oh, I see what you're saying. It's cool. But then there was one person that like refused to even engage with me and was just being like very, very ironic and sarcastic. And that was where I was like, you know what? I don't need to do this. It's time to mute. Mm-hmm. And so since then I haven't looked.
And we sucked you back in.
You sucked me back in. All right, let's get out of here. I want to talk about our top livecast fans of the week. And to be a top livecast fan, you have to dunk on me on Twitter. No, that's not
yes.
it at all.
It helps.
It's on our Patreon. It's another Patreon tier. It's the $10 tier. And you get everything in the $5 tier, which includes the monthly bonus episodes, access to all previous episodes, video versions of our free episodes. And the bonus is a shout out at the end of the show, which I'm sad to say is right now. So let's do this. How should I do it?
Well, that's Lil Nas X.
Or as Satan. Or as one of the people dunking on you on social media. Like,
no, I don't want to do it as any of these people.
Why don't you just do it as Rob?
All right, well, I do want to give a... How about I do it in a guttural growl, like in tribute to Satan? We have Eric, Robert Gadoosh, a.k.a. Justin, Benjamin, El Durito, Dan R., Mindy Meyers, Kippa.
Okay, Ben.
Croc Destroyer. Gotta do it from my stomach, not my throat. Dit, dit. Dit, dit. Dit, dit, dit.
Sounds like JoJo. That was good. I like that. I'd download that album.
Gender. Shasur, Shasuzets. Lockwood. The crustacean sensation, a.k.a. God Stopper. Ash Bazeloth. Dallas. Robert Vampiro. Shane. Hugo Likes Tacos. Lando Dukes. Perilous Patches. Scooby-Doo. 182. Douglas, who are you? Levison.
How's your throat feel?
It's all right. Horrible. Okay. I do want to say my favorite chunk from the quotes.
God.
Okay, tell Vark he should fuck the devil then.
I'm on board with that.
I'm into it.
Can we get that on pay-per-view?
Is that even a dunk? I don't know if that's a dunk. I think they might be on your side.
Fair.
Varg is a very holy man.
Put a lot of holes in another man. That's something.
That's true. He's a lot more holy than Varg is.
real hero.
All right. So Robbie needs to go back to Twitter. I have to go back to Twitter.
I need to not to be on Twitter.
Darren has
so
to go.
So that's
back
our
to
show.
Suave.
Oh, thank you for tuning
what?
In.
Wait, hold on, what?
Being suave.
Oh,
my goodness. I didn't know I was being suave. I'll have to turn up
I think
suave
that's like
a part
of your of what Darren's charm is.
I'm going to blush. I never knew this, that
you
I was
got
suave.
Got the button-up shirt?
I honestly, I hate to ruin the illusion. I was out of shirts. I have laundry day. But
my illusion has been shattered!
I usually go and take a T-shirt, which I think is my aesthetic for this show, and I just didn't have any like T-shirts left. So, I went
would you
to the
consider
closet.
Going shirtless?
Does anyone want to see that? Come on, I'll do it if we all do it.
That
and Noah hard. Can
one
wear
of us more than the other.
Noah
think
can
about,
wear
think
a sports
about the Patreon subscribers.
Well, I guess like my hair is long enough now that I could wear it like a mermaid, and I could just
yeah,
cover.
Exactly, strategic tape.
You have to tape it. Or like safety pin it, whatever.
Or false, not falsies, pasties.
Yeah.
Okay, Rob's zoning out.
Go to the get two guy. Metal injection stickers from metalinjection.com from our
merch
page and just
maybe Sal stickers.
Or lamb coat.
Yeah, the jerk off barber. People will be jerking off constantly when this happens.
Should we start selling lamb coat merch on our site? What do you think, Rob? Do you have the right to do that?
I don't think
know.
I do. I think Nike will sue us if we
yeah,
do.
Yeah, I was about to say, what if we
yeah,
just take Lambo March and edit it?
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for tuning in. And please don't dunk on me on Twitter. I'm very sensitive on there. Bye.
Bye-bye. Yay, we did it.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah, the Lamb Goat interview went much longer than I anticipated.
You
like
that?
Cool.
I like that.
Yeah, it was a good conversation. I thought it was fun.
The only thing we didn't do was ask him about the Frankie Palmieri interview.
Oh,
so like I forgot. Like we, because I was gonna say we played some of his podcasts on the show, right? Yeah.
I didn't know
yeah.
if you wanted to mention that.
And he
not.
Acknowledged
oh, yeah.
you on there. All right, we'll just do it next time. What a deal. Do you guys want to talk about the clips? Because I really have to get back to work. I have to finish the 5:30.
I don't know.
Little Nas X.
Yeah, something from the Lamb Goat thing. I don't know.
What would
like,
be
what
like the standout
There was a moment in Lamb Goat where he, maybe when he said the Dave Grohl thing, there was just like a moment where we all like really laughed.
Yeah, where he said, well, I haven't hung out with Dave Grohl, but I drank with these. Yeah, when he was talking about the people he hung out with.
Horse the
yeah, when
or
he
whatever.
Was like, yeah, like speaking of a highlight moment.
Yeah.
Not the Dave Grohl then?
I think it was during the same little moment. I'm not sure. It's the second time we mentioned Dave Grohl.
Yeah, it was the second time. And then... Rob getting heat on Twitter. I mean, there was just a lot of funny stuff.
Yeah.
There's something in there. Yeah.
Okay.
I think anytime there's like an outburst where we all just like outburst laughing, like that's a good moment to share.
Yeah, but I need to be reminded what those are because I don't want to scan through the whole.
Yeah.
If you have any like leads where I can scan into it. Like, if it's within like 10 minutes, it's easy to find it, you know, but.
I think it was like after we played the Fox clip, like we said the thing about the weatherman.
That was great, the weatherman part.
Yeah.
Maybe just that part.
And then, like after that, we just kind of like made, like had some quick jokes.
Do you want to put something from Rob being on Twitter or not?
Yeah.
No, I don't want to.
No? Okay.
No, not me reading the tweets.
So just those two then?
Yeah, I guess that's all we were. Like,
we still
only
have
really...
more memes to post tomorrow, so.
Oh, wait. Wasn't there... What did we talk about? Oh, marijuana legalization we talked about.
Oh, yeah.
There could be a clip in there. Something in there for sure. I don't know. I'm drawing a blank on what the goofs were.
Rob going to the bar, the weed bar.
Something like that part where you were like, oh, I think the cops are here. Maybe that.
Yeah. That was good.
I don't remember that one. When
Darren was saying that he was going to get arrested for.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's always right. So also, if it points to a meme, I think that's always a good one to use.
Okay. Sounds good.
Alrighty.
Okay. All right. I'll see you guys later. Rob, send me a text. I'll have my phone next to me. Send me a text. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Bye.
All right.